Welcome to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randall. Dive into the live courtroom drama as we bring you unfiltered audio from one of the most riveting trials of the year. Accused of multiple marital murders, Randall's fate unfolds before us. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. This is Dark Vows.
I want to ask you about Mr. Miller for a second. Yesterday we had talked about you looking to see if any outstanding warrants, because that was something maybe the defendant had mentioned. You remember talking about that yesterday?
I do.
Okay. Did you discover whether or not he had any local arrests here or anything like that?
No, Mr. Miller had no warrants.
Okay. So no arrest or no warrants that you could find?
No. Had he been arrested here, he would have had an ID number assigned to him, and he did not have one.
During this interview, there's a portion of the interview. Do you recall Mr. Randolph looking at you and saying, you know, I don't like you? Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Okay. I want to turn your attention to July 2nd, 2008. Do you go over to 6517 Rancho Santa Fe?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember why you had gone over there?
As I recall, it was to be present in what we refer to as a keep the peace type situation where the locks were being changed on the house.
Okay, so they were being changed over. Who was having the locks changed?
And Colleen Byer was.
Okay, so does the defendant arrive at the house at that time?
He did. We were inside the house, and he just walked in and went over to one of Miss Byers, Mrs. Byers' children, and then knelt down and started talking to him.
Okay. Does he say something to you at that time?
Well, we talked about, you know, the agreement between the attorneys. You know, that was a civil issue at that point in time. We discussed that we were changing the locks and then we were going to be leaving. There was some suggestion of removing property from the house, and I told Mr. Randolph that that wasn't going to happen, that there was already communication between attorneys and nobody was taking anything from the house at that point. Mr. Randolph told me that I was an asshole.
Did you respond to that?
I did. I said, well, I don't think that I am, but you have the right to your opinion. And he said, well, you are. And I said, well, that's okay. I don't take it personally. I later told him the only reason that I was standing there in front of him is because I was the next person that was up in rotation. It could have been somebody else, not me.
On that day, it's July 2nd. You have not arrested Mr. Randolph at this time?
No.
Does Mr. Randolph ask you a question about how long this investigation is going to take?
He did.
Okay. And what do you say to him at that point?
Well, that we were making sure that we, you know, got everything right in the investigation. Mr. Randolph responded by saying that, well, as far as he was concerned, that we blew any chance of that happening on the first night. And when I asked him to elaborate,
that's beyond the scope of the question.
Did you want to add something?
Yes.
Go ahead.
When I asked him to elaborate, he said that his attorneys told him not to talk to the police about it.
I want to turn your attention to that second interview. Does the defendant make comments about Sharon's gambling?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Does he talk about the fact that he potentially has to pay back taxes for a former husband of hers?
Yes, he did.
Does the defendant discuss the fact that there is some sort of IRA that Sharon...
Yes. Okay. And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I just want you to understand that there was a civil dispute involving Mr. Randolph in this bio regarding the house and the advice that Mr. Randolph was given by his lawyer was in regards to that civil dispute, and you are not to consider that in this case in any way. Go ahead, Mr. Hammer.
Thank you. Did the defendant discuss Sharon's spending when it came to an IRA, a $40,000 IRA that she had?
Yes, he did.
Did the defendant discuss how Sharon treated or used $5,000 he gave to her after giving $5,000 to Liz Lavador.
Yes, he did.
When discussing these topics, what was the defendant's, did he seem happy about her spending habits?
No, he wasn't happy about it at all.
Did he seem happy about having to pay taxes for another husband of hers?
No, he seemed quite irritated with that.
Did he appear to be happy about the manner in which she gambled?
No.
Did you say she gambled?
She gambled. Okay. As this investigation continued, did you take steps to recover or collect gaming records from the Santa Fe Hotel?
Yes, we did.
Did you also seek to collect banking records from joint accounts between Sharon and the defendant, as well as the defendant's own personal bank accounts?
Yes.
Okay. Did you also collect kind of records tracking potentially any outstanding debts that the defendant may have had?
Yes.
This time, I'm going to be publishing 328.
You say 328?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Just bear with me. I've got to get ready. Okay, we're opening up a folder entitled Financial or Gambling Reports, opening gaming records. Let's start with Mr. Miller. So did you get records for Miller, Sharon, as well as the defendant himself?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Let's first start with Mr. Randolph. Do you see where it says total in here?
Yes.
Before we get to that, what is the time range on this set of gaming records?
It's a 1 month range from 4/9 to 5/9 of 08.
Okay, and what's the total amount that Mr. Randolph has spent total in on that last month before Sharon passes away?
$462.50.
Opening Miller's records. Now, this one doesn't have an overall total, but have you kind of calculated how much it is when you add up all of these coins in?
Yeah, so it was around $1,900.
Okay. And just to be clear, that's kind of it deals with, you've got, you're starting on kind of May 7th, and it goes all the way down to February. So from February to May 7th, it's approximately $1,900.
That's correct.
Okay. Let's look at Sharon Randolph. What is the date range from here?
The same as with Mr. Randolph, from 4/9 of 08 to 5/9 of 08, 1 month.
So this is the last month of her life, correct?
Yes.
How much money did she put in the slot machines in that month?
$23,468.70.
Opening up the folder of banking records. Did the Randolphs have a joint account at Wells Fargo?
Yes.
Opening Randolph joint bank account. These records span from January of 2007 all the way to July 31st of 2008. Is that correct?
Yes.
First, going to go to page 221. These records. If you could, can you please read to me what's the date here?
That's April 30th of 2008.
I'm not sure these are admitted yet. Not that we would have an objection, but I...
328 was admitted yesterday.
They're all good.
That's why I clarified it was 328.
It was. And it's on the same CD with the insurance.
Thank you.
How many? What is their total amount of assets at the end of April?
$1,041.60.
And with this account, for this specific account, what are their total liabilities?
It shows $39,897.11.
And that's 8 days before she's passed away, correct?
Correct.
Does there appear to be kind of a home equity line of credit associated with this account?
Yes, this shows an interest rate there, and it's increased from the previous month.
Okay. Now going to 227. What's the date of this statement?
May 31st of 2008.
So this is obviously the end of the month in which Sharon passes away on the 8th of May, correct?
That's correct.
At the end of this month, what was the total amount of assets?
$2,297 even.
And it started obviously with the ending balance for the prior month of $1,041.60, correct?
Correct.
What were the total liabilities?
$39,867.75, so it's actually decreased in making payments, apparently.
Okay. But still a negative balance of approximately $37,000 for subtracting the assets from the liabilities?
Yes.
You did also acquire, though, a bank account through Washington Mutual that related only to Mr. Randolph, correct?
Yes.
These records span from August of 2007 all the way to May, the end of May of 2008. Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm going to go to page 17. Well, before we do that, let's go to the beginning. In the beginning in this account, how much money? Let's look at the date here, and I apologize. I just don't have my mouse here, so it's a little harder for me to navigate. Okay. So this is on page 3, and can you see the upper right-hand corner? It's stating that this covers essentially the month of August. Would that be correct?
That's correct, from 8-6 to 8-22 of 07.
And it looks like their payment periods probably start a little bit earlier, but this is apparently when the account is open on 8-6 of 07, correct?
Yes.
Okay. There was $117,000, approximately $939.17 in deposits made in this account when it first opened. Is that right?
Yes.
What is the ending balance at the end of this month?
$86,919.17.
Okay, now that's August of 2007.
Correct.
I want to turn your attention to the month in which Sharon passes away. I'm going to page 17, these records. Can you read me the statement period from when to when?
April 23rd of 2008 to May 22nd of 2008.
Please tell me what the beginning balance was at the beginning of this statement period.
The cursor right there, is that an 8 or a 3?
I'm so sorry.
That's right. $815.35.
Okay. And there was a withdrawal made on April 28th, right?
Yes.
How much was that?
$800.
And that's prior to Sharon's death, is that correct?
That's correct.
What is the ending balance in this account?
$15.35.
Opening the Equifax records. These Equifax records tracked kind of outstanding debts that he had financially, correct?
Yes.
With respect to an American Express account, you see the balance, it says date reported, it's June of 2008, is that right?
Yes.
What is the balance amount?
$404.
With respect to this Bank of America account, the reported date is 2008. What is the balance amount?
$152.
Going to page 6 of the records. Going to page 7 of the records. With respect to Chase Bank, the top of the page 7, the date of June of 2008, what is the balance amount?
$7,628.
With respect to the second Chase Bank account, June of 2000.
Just clarify whether we're dealing with bank accounts or credit cards.
Okay. Well, Chase Bank, we'll just do it this way. Chase Bank USA account number 426-684-106085. What is the balance amount?
$7,628.
There's a second account under Chase Bank of 5222-763-00999. As of June of 2008, what is the balance amount?
$20,491.
With respect to Citibank, bank account 5424-180864-38. As of July 2008, what is the balance amount?
$16.
Moving on to page 8, with respect to Citibank, account number 5424-180882-07. As of June of 2008, what is the balance amount?
$5,781.
With respect to a Sears account of 504-994-802-353, as of June of 2008, what is the balance amount?
$706.
Moving on to page 10. Moving on to page 11. Wells Fargo account 6506-500-97-9047. As of June of 2008, what is the balance amount?
$39,254.
And essentially that matches up with that home line of credit from those Wells Fargo's records.
Exactly.
So when you added that amount up, did it come out to approximately $84,808?
Yes.
I'd like to have almost undetected, but if I could have at least these three marked. Requesting admission, stage 333-334-335. Can I have those witnesses?
Yes, Your Honor.
Showing you stage 333, who's that?
Tom Randolph.
Showing you 334, who's that?
Michael Miller.
Showing you 335, who's that?
Sharon Randolph.
Okay. We all would ever, can I have those back?
Yes.
Thanks. Just publishing 333, 334, 335. So, just to be clear, you had mentioned you calculated approximately $84,000 in money owed. Approximately how much life insurance would he have been a beneficiary of in light of Sharon's death?
Approximately $332,000.
And underneath the very first will from June of 06, did he also stand to inherit the house, 6517 Rancho Santa Fe?
Yes.
Did the will also enable him to inherit any potential bank accounts that were out?
Yes.
I have no further questions for this witness.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a brief recess before we start cross-examination of this witness. During this recess, she must not discuss or communicate with anyone, including fellow jurors, in any way regarding this case or its merits, either by voice, phone, email, text, internet, or other means of communication or social media. You must not read, watch, listen, any news or media accounts or commentary about this case. You must not do any research, such as consulting dictionaries, using the internet, or using records material. You must not make any investigation, test the theory of the case, recreate any aspect of the case, or in any other way investigate or learn about the case on your own. You must not form or express any opinion regarding this case in the comments under two. Ladies and gentlemen, 10:15 will be in recess until 10:30.
You're listening to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. There's more raw courtroom drama ahead as we bring you unfiltered audio from trial. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute. More Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph, next.